Hey, I won't bug you too much. There are a few ways you can support the Brad and Britt cast. One of them is to shop at our Amazon store. That's shop.bradandbritt.com. Many of you have been doing this, and we certainly appreciate it. Doesn't change the price of the stuff you're buying at shop.bradandbritt.com. You can donate via PayPal. That's at Brad and Britt. On Venmo, it's BBcast. And on Cash App, it's BDUB336, BDUB336. And another great way to support us is to give us a five-star review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever, just give us a five-star review. That's easy.
Brad and Britt, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Britt.
All right, it's the Brad and Britt cast for this day and really for this week. It's one and done, as they like to say in college basketball. Our only Brad and Britt cast for this week. So as a result, we're going to go 7 hours today.
Seven hours.
That way you only have to listen for an hour and you'll have something fresh.
So let me begin with, this is the fall of WZTK. We'll go into granular detail and exactly why that radio station hit the shitter. You've wanted to know it for 9 years now. Actually, you haven't.
By the way, I was listening, you know, Clark Howard, our old friend Clark Howard, now has been reduced to a podcast also.
Okay. Reduced. Yeah.
Well, it's true. I mean, he tries not to present it that way. And,
right.
But it is. He took a week off. And so all these people who write him say, you know, here's an idea. Why don't you have your staff members do the show while you're, why don't you have your relatives do the show while you're gone?
Relatives?
Clark is such a nice guy that he won't say to these people, hey, fuck faces, when I'm gone, the show is gone. Okay. You can live for one fucking week without me. And Jesus Christ, get a life. Okay. All right. But the last person who regularly had guest hosts was Johnny Carson. And of course, I guess Jimmy Kimmel does it too. But other than that, no one in radio, that's it. It's over. It's done. Forget it. Podcast? Yeah. Substitute podcasters. Holy shit. There aren't enough podcasts for you to listen to besides one. People are just so dumb.
That's the beauty of on demand is you do it when you do it, you don't when you don't. That's it. And then it's there if it's there, and if it's not, it's not. Sorry, that's just how shit. That's how it goes.
It's nice to start off with something too stupid to talk about, and I guess
it's too stupid. Here's a guy that's too stupid to talk about. Steve Bannon surrendering himself to the popo because he decided that he didn't want to go ahead and he wanted to be in contempt of Congress over a subpoena. I believe Steve Bannon feels that this is a way to embellish and improve his brand. He's not really taking the legal jeopardy he's putting himself in very seriously, in my opinion, Brad. Would you agree with that?
No.
You think he thinks he's in trouble?
No, he doesn't care.
Oh, that's true.
He does not care about this. And I read a piece earlier today from David Frum. You know who David Frum is.
Sure.
Smart guy, writer. I think he was in one or two Republican administrations, but he was never on the Trump train. He never fell for that shit, so good for him.
Right.
And he's written a piece. You can see it in The Atlantic. It's a short one. It's not a long one. But he is making the case that, and we saw an example of it in the last few years when all these other times when we thought there were legal issues that were about to swallow up Trump and his cronies, and they wiggled out of them every time. Robert Mueller, the impeachments, and the rest. And his broader point is that it really shows the overall weakness of the American legal system, the prosecutorial process as we have it, when you have people who are determined under any circumstance to just undermine the very system of which they are a part of. And his example from history, not recent history, but further back in history is, here you go, ready? 1, 2, 3, the Chicago Seven. And back then,
Yeah.
When Abbie Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, David Dellinger, the seven of them.
Yes.
Were put on trial.
Yes.
In a very highly charged situation. Do you think they really cared that they were charged by the system? No, they loved it and they turned it around. They made did. A mockery of it.
There's a film that came out, but see, people don't know this. This has been more than 50 years ago. They were charged with inciting a riot around the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, for people that don't know.
And of course, you know, they were acquitted, right? They walked. Mm-hmm. This was a situation where they did not have this large swath of the American public believing everything they were saying, as Steve Bannon or Trump or the rest of them have. They didn't even have that kind of public support. I mean, most people thought the Chicago set were, they were out of their fucking minds. Okay.
The most pernicious charge against them was crossing state lines to incite a riot or something. It was like so bizarre and so unbelievable. It was such a reach but they, you know, that was the Nixon White House, and then Nixon was a vengeful guy and he wanted to make an example of these assholes. That's what he was. That was his thinking.
Right. But just take the techniques of then and apply them now. And of course, this is, you know, 1,000 times bigger than what was going on then in terms of whatever trumped up phony charges that were thrown at these guys over the violence that was, by the way, initiated by the police.
Yeah, that's correct.
Chicago.
That's correct.
Okay. Right. As opposed to this time, who's initiating the violence here? This group. Who's advocating this violence? These people. Who's plotting to overthrow the government? It wasn't the Chicago Seven in 1968. They weren't trying to over. But now we do have people. And Frum's point is, be careful that Bannon, and, you know, we've all kind of thought of this in different ways. He is looking at this as his moment, as his badge of honor.
He is. Like I said, I think he thinks he's going to make money off of this. It's going to improve his brand.
Well, just forget the money. This isn't about the money now. It's about overthrowing the government, Britt.
Oh, I understand.
But that's way, what he gets. If he gets rich along the way, that's not a bad thing. Okay.
But he believes that he's going to beat these charges. He believes they can run out the clock. The Republicans will continue to minimize what he did. He won't be convicted. He'll come out the other side, and he can sell, you know, Steve Bannon brand ivermectin. And make a shit ton of money next year.
Right. Now, I'm not sure this is the best business strategy to get indicted by the Justice Department, assuming you're going to beat the rap so that you can come out on the other side with more money. This is another case. He's 67 years old. Who knows what his royalty check is from being part of the whole Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. And we always ask ourselves, what, you don't have enough money?
He's got like a whole bunch of money. But yeah, he's a martyr to a group of people. There's a section of America that believes this man's a martyr. I mean, you do understand that, right?
Well, the worst part of what you said is he's a martyr either way. If he convicts, if he's convicted, he's a super martyr, right? But if he's not convicted, it's just, you know, the government. It's the man. It's the establishment coming down on people who, you know, when you really strip it all away, they just want to make sure that our elections have integrity and the voters can have confidence in our life. That's all they wanted, right? That's all that matters. And why are we so angry at that? Why are we so?
But there's a small there's a small problem with all this, and it's that this guy that we're about to show, this little chickadee from Western North Carolina, I think he's about to sing. Mark Meadows, the former chief of staff for Donald John Trump, and before that a congressman from Western North Carolina, I think he's about to jump off the Trump train. I think he's about had enough, and I think he's going to start singing. This is your guy right here.
I think you're moving into that neighborhood that we thought
Yeah.
Some people might move into for the last 5 years, but none of them did. And we can talk about, and it's hard to believe that there's so much more to know, but there always is on every subject, and a whole tranche of new shit that, of course, justifies everything that all of us thought about the lies that the administration and Trump and what the CDC was forced to say during those early months of the coronavirus. It wasn't just true. It was super true. It was worse than we thought. That Trump should be strung up just for that, because he is responsible for tens, let's call it hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths by muddying the waters that to this day are still muddied. But back to Bannon and his ilk, because all they see is this goal right now, and I don't know what else there is, to overturn the United States government and install something in its place, right?
This is classic Republicanism. This is like when they wanted to overthrow and have regime change in Iraq. They didn't know what was going next. They just wanted to get rid of the Iraqi government, right? And that was one of the great failings of the mission in Iraq, right?
Well, hang on. I'm getting myself a headache there thinking about that. I'm thinking hard, but I think you may be onto something there, son.
That's Republicanism. We love regime change. We just have no fucking idea what's coming next, and we don't want to think about what's coming next. But that's us. And you're exactly right. That's what they're thinking about. And we're getting down. It's getting down to nut cutting time. Again, I don't know if that's a Southern expression or what that is. It's getting down to nut cutting time here. Eventually, you either want to make yourself into this martyr, and it's not even a joke anymore, because you're going to go to jail. So you either want to do the bidding of Donald John Trump. This is literally the hill you want to die on. Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, everybody else. Or you go, hey, stop the train. I've had enough. This is what happened. We planned this, that. It was wrong. It was bad. I don't want to go to jail for the rest of my life. I don't want this by my name. Please. Let me cut whatever deal I can right now. And that's what you're staring in the face right now.
You know, this is such circular psychopathic thinking and an argument that feeds on itself in that, I mean, just in the last, 10 days, you've seen the threats of violence against, is it 12 Republicans who, committed the cardinal sin of voting for the infrastructure bill.
Voting for roads and bridges, right, and internet.
Remember, they've had their lives threatened, their families threatened, probably their pets threatened for clearly doing the right thing, for clearly doing the thing that Donald Trump, 56 times, including the time at the White House when he got into the big and stupid truck and went, and blew the horn like he was a six-year-old. It was Infrastructure Week over and over again. This is very similar legislation, I am sure, to what was out there then that never passed, that Republicans would have cheered from now to the end of the earth had it ever been able to get through. But for some reason, it just didn't, even when the Republicans controlled the entire Congress, right? They couldn't get it done. They couldn't get it done. So now we've reached the point where 90% of Republicans, more than 90%, have said it is better to keep the physical infrastructure of the country as crappy as it is and not invest in it. It's better to do that. It's better to punish their own citizens, state by state, county by county, road by road, railroad station by railroad station, and airport by airport. It is better to punish your own constituents, your own voters, than it is to allow a victory politically for Joe Biden as he signs that piece of legislation on this day, Monday. That is now the worst thing that can happen in America, and only Republicans are there to stand in between Joe Biden and a political victory. Never looked at as a win for the American people. Never looked at as how the fuck are we ever going to compete with China if our airports, you know, look like 1952. How are we ever going to? Okay, so they're a nihilistic, hate America, power only matters, winning elections at any cost with any means necessary, cheating, gerrymandering, suppressing, doing whatever it takes to just win, baby. Apologies to the Oakland Raiders.
How dare you? Who didn't just win, baby?
But I don't recall the Raiders trying to punish their own fans in pursuit of victory. Okay, they did not do that. So let's give one. We'll give one to the old Oakland Raiders.
Really is this is the this is like the Republic. It is better to have 100 people die on a collapsed bridge, falling in the river and drowning, than it is to give Joe Biden one victory. That's kind of what they're saying.
Absolutely, you have to. You got to go there. You have to believe that. And, you know, here we all are just caterwauling about this and whining about it. Mm. And meantime, they're stepping up the voter suppression and the gerrymandering to an 11 on the 10 scale, including right where we are. You know, this is a state that is, 52-48 in the total number of votes in congressional elections or so. And yet gerrymandering 10 out of 13 Republic, that's not good enough for them. They won 11. They won 11 out of 13, or is it now 14? You know, they want to keep that percentage that's so disproportionate. You know, North Carolina is one of the worst states for this. It's like Ohio or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania this way, and that they keep doing it. And Steve Bannon is kind of, at one level, a patron saint of this technique, and is one of the modern fathers of it. In a way, he really is. And the fact that no matter what happens, he's not going to be spilling the beans, because apparently even if he gets convicted, it doesn't compel him to talk. They're not going to get the information out of him like any good. And by the way, again, Godfather 2 is always on TV, and yesterday it was on Showtime. So that was good. I didn't have to put up with the stupid commercial break.
Right.
And I had not watched the last hour and a half of it all the way, because usually I just catch little parts of it. And upon seeing that, and upon seeing what was willing to be done on behalf of the Godfather Michael by all these, there is not that much of a difference between that great movie and the attitude that Donald Trump has been exhibiting for 50 plus years, and now as the ex-godfather, the ex-president, he somehow, some way, still has sway over these people. And we know why, because the voters support him in the base. We know all that. So let's but there's something so wrong with that. And that's where the comparison to Nixon completely breaks down. There were not people pledging their loyalty to whatever Richard Nixon was ever going to say again after he left office. It was over. That was it. You're done.
Once they went to jail, that really sobered them up. It really showed them.
Like 42 people. Right. 42 people in his administration went to jail, and almost every one of them, I think, after Nixon left office. So there is a precedent for that, except here's the problem. You know, the Congress went Democratic after Nixon lost. And now we're in a position completely the opposite of that, where if you believe the conventional wisdom, and why not? That's why it's conventional wisdom, because you're supposed to believe it, that a Republican landslide is just 12 months away. We're just 12 months away from that. They're going to control everything. All the investigations will stop. Game over. And they're going to run the place, and we're going to turn into Bulgaria or Hungary or Belarus or any of these other fucked up places with autocratic dictators, as Joe Biden has led to the gallows or something of that sort. And you've already seen it over the weekend. The Revenge Caucus, that's the entire Republican Party. They are now the Revenge Caucus, working on behalf of the Revenge President, who wants to conduct a revenge tour and a revenge campaign to get reelected. That could change, but that's where it is right now. There is no denying that. And, of course, you know, the best thing that can happen, according to these people, is for inflation to double again, for gas to go to $7 a gallon, so that it will be completely Joe Biden's fault, and things of that sort. So they're cheering for the country to go down the tubes so that they can get all these people who are now starting to say, yes, if the election were held tomorrow, of course I would vote for a Republican for Congress. Of course you would. Why wouldn't you want to put someone in there now who will be representative of a party that wanted to overthrow the United States government, who wanted to overturn the election? What? That was so long ago. That was in the past.
Yeah.
You get over it. MoveOn.org, our version of it, right? Yeah, that's what they're saying. And, you know, it's untenable. It's unbelievable. And
this is the ABC Washington Post poll showing that some very low approval ratings for Joe Biden. He is underwater. However, it's strange when they, again, poll these people as to what's in the infrastructure package and do they like it. Sure. Overwhelmingly, they love it. They think it's great. But fuck you for passing this. I don't know, again, how you reconcile all of that. But that's what's going on. That's what the poll numbers are showing.
Exactly. It's just people are stupid. It's like a great piece I saw over the weekend by James Surowiecki. Surowiecki, in another life, which means about 10 years ago or more, used to write a column almost every week in the New Yorker on economics, and he spoke like a person. He didn't write like a wonk. He was great. And I don't see his writings all that often, but he did come forward over the weekend, and he wrote, you know, the reason that Americans can't quite figure out what the fuck is going on with the coronavirus is because they're so bad at math. They're just really, really bad at math. They can't reconcile things like, well, if 98% of people who are hospitalized are unvaccinated, then by definition, getting vaccinated makes you a multiple of 10, 20 times less likely to be vaccinated,
right,
or to be infected,
right,
than people who are unvaccinated. The vaccinated, you have a much, and they can't even reconcile those numbers. And why is that? Well, first of all, they're stupid. Most people are stupid, can't count, and don't do division, and can't figure out if a certain, and that's where we. Why is that any different than what we're talking about here with the politics of Trumpism, which is, you know, what has to drop on your head for you to figure out that this might not be the best direction for the country to go in? Well, I don't know, but I don't like the direction America's going in. What is that, 70% say we don't like the direction?
Of the wrong country? Direction, yeah.
Because, right, the right, wrong direction. And, of course, as you know, when you're downhill on that one, you can never win an election. We know all that shit.
Yeah, we
get that. And I'm here to tell you that is mostly the result of high gas prices.
Yeah,
and high
mostly.
Prices for food. That's all that matters. People cannot look, and I understand that. It doesn't affect me that much. I have enough money that it doesn't matter whether the loaf of bread that was $2 last week is now $2.69.
There's a lot of people under a lot of economic pressure, and there's not a lot of room in their budgets. And
but there always are people under a lot of, you know, everyone is all, that hasn't changed.
That's
that
right.
hasn't changed.
But they've seen the prices go up in a very real way, and it's affecting their budget. And then they're also being told on Fox News that they're not going to be able to get little Timmy's presents for Christmas because Joe Biden is an asshole and he's stupid. That's why they're not going to be able to get anything for little Timmy for Christmas.
He's blocking all the ports, right? He will not allow the trucks. He's blockading the trucks from getting to the ports.
By the way.
So they can pick up the Tonka Toys truck. Reference to a truck that no one gets anymore, sir.
No, you might have go with Wilco Hess next time, sir. More current. Right. This is part, by the way, mark it down, Snerdly. This is part of the war on Christmas. Joe Biden is so against Christmas and Jesus, he doesn't even want your kids to get presents. There it is right there. He doesn't want you to be able to afford them, and they can't go on the fucking shelves. This is part of the war on Christmas. We need to go ahead and start ramping that one up right now. I'm writing Sean Hannity's show.
But wait, Britt, it's not just that. It's a more clever, devious way to conduct a war on Christmas.
It is.
Right? It is. A war on Christmas in not allowing people. And as you know, for many, many years until Trump became president, you were not allowed to say the words Merry Christmas.
You couldn't say it.
You're not allowed to put them in an ad for your product in the newspaper.
People were beaten and jailed and killed for saying Merry Christmas.
Right. And that was an abrogation of the First Amendment, and that stopped under Trump. Now it's back in force again. But that's not enough, okay? Because if you're not allowed to say Merry Christmas, but your kids still get presents, well, that's not getting it done. So Biden and the Socialist Democrats want to just take it all away. So they've killed the supply chains.
They have. The price of a Christmas tree is up 40% this year. Do you think – I'm just making that number. I'm making that number up, but it sounds – it's 40%. Right. Do you think the average American family can afford a Christmas tree? No. Joe Biden doesn't want them to have a Christmas tree or celebrate Christmas because he hates Jesus and he wants to kill Christmas, and it's part of the war on Christmas. See,
here's the funny thing, and I know that I haven't seen yet them do the basket of Thanksgiving food I'm sure is higher this year.
Yes, of course.
And of course, I'm sure that allegedly the price of turkey must Every store in our area, Britt, last week it was Harris Teeter. This weekend it was Food Lion. You ready? 29 cents a pound for turkey. So I went and bought one last week, and it was like a 14 pounder. So you do the math there. 30, let's call it 30 times 14. That's $4.20 for a 14-pound turkey. I say that the Joe Biden has whipped inflation.
USA, USA, USA.
Turkeys are normally like $1.80 a pound, maybe $2. Maybe it's higher under the normal price. But they were 29 cents.
The socialists are pacifying America with their tryptophan. That's what's going on. They're putting you to sleep, literally, America. Speaking of inflation, there's a piece that was written by Larry Summers, who was Secretary of the Treasury from 1999 to 2001.
I'm tired of him. Jesus,
okay,
he's tedious.
I'm Holy with you. Look, tedious. I'm not sticking up for this man. There's no question. Larry Summers is an asshole. I'm going to go ahead and just go on record as saying that. He's very annoying, and you know who played him in The Social Network, speaking of fill-ins? That would be the great Doug Urbanski, who used to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, who died 9.5 years ago. So he goes through, he doesn't think that Jay Powell is doing the right thing for Joe Biden and for the country when it comes to inflation, saying that it's transitory. And he kind of goes through that. But now he comes to a good summation here. And this is what he says in his Washington Post piece. Excessive inflation in a sense that it was not being controlled helped elect Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan and risks bringing Donald Trump back to power. While an overheating economy is a relatively good problem to have compared to a pandemic or a financial crisis, it will metastasize and threaten prosperity and public trust unless clearly acknowledged and addressed. So you can question Larry Summers being a dick and his methods and stuff. I think his heart is in the right place. He's saying, if we don't address this, start doing the right thing as far as like increasing interest rates and that sort of stuff that the Fed can do, this is going to be something that could put Donald Trump back into power. And Larry Summers doesn't want that. For all of the assholishness that he is, he doesn't want Donald Trump back in power. And he's very afraid of that, as all of us are. Do you accept this?
Well, I'll give him half right. Put it back up there for a second, because I want to make sure that what I thought I saw and then I read. Excessive inflation, in a sense it wasn't being controlled, helped elect Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Nixon. So it's 1968. Yeah. The country is torn apart by the war in Vietnam, which apparently wasn't as big a deal for people as inflation. It was torn apart by social unrest across. Yeah. It was campuses were burning. Campuses were being closed.
And MLK was assassinated. RFK was assassinated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think to say that inflation elected Nixon.
Right.
That's a new one. That is a new one. Okay. But okay, just roll it right in there. Go ahead. And did Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 1980 because of inflation? Yeah, I guess we inflated the number of hostages, right? There were only 48. They said 52. No. Okay. I mean, I get that. And I understand. Because Summers is making the right point, but I think he's exaggerating the past in various situations. It just, he just is. But okay, I get the fact that the narrative now is that Joe Biden is in trouble and underwater because he's underplayed way too many things. He's been the everything's going to be okay guy, which is what he did when he ran for president. But now that he is president, the everything's going to be okay attitude doesn't quite cut it, whether it's Afghanistan or inflation or any other issue that you can name. He seems like he's laid back Joe a little bit too much and that events are overwhelming him, except, you know, all inflations are not the same in terms of their root causes and how fast they may abate depending on, you know, other circumstances. And but again, we have to go back to our original thesis of this program. The American people are stupid.
Okay? Pretty stupid.
They
fairly stupid.
They want it right now, and they don't want to hear nothing about it. They ain't interested in why. They're just interested in what. I don't want to know why gasoline is now $3, $4, $5 a gallon, whatever it is. I don't want to know why. I just want to know that it's going down. So, and by the way, remember, if Joe Biden took the most radical step right now that would quickly lower gasoline prices, which is go down there to Louisiana where they have those big, I think they're like in mason jars of a lot of gasoline, a lot of oil.
Yeah.
And he got that into the system that it would lower prices. Well, I'm not quite sure how that happens because so much of our oil and gasoline is delivered by truck, and we don't have any trucks right now. We don't have any drivers. We can't get shit delivered. So I'm not quite sure how that would.
Larry Summers in the piece mentions opening up the reserves, and it's really more honestly. That's more of a theater piece. That's more of a theater piece for America and for the markets to go. Oh, it doesn't really make a dent as far as supply goes, but it's something that you can hug and get close to you, right? It for the markets people.
It would increase supply, but here's the point. It doesn't matter what Joe Biden does. If he does that, then what will Republicans say? That this is a desperate bit of government intervention using a resource that we keep in reserve in case of war or something really, really important, and that market forces will take care of the problem. Republicans will suddenly become free market, will take care of high prices the minute Joe Biden does something about high prices through government intervention. And to be fair, I can't really recall when actual federal government tampering with the economy in the short term changes these kinds of numbers. It's just not going to happen. The price of bread is not going to go back down no matter what. And the raises that people have gotten for working, they're not going to be repealed if that's helping to drive some inflation too. Labor costs are part of why people raise prices too. So the answer, of course, and again, it's just you and me. We can talk about this. It doesn't matter. We're not going to change the world. But because people are stupid and because and this happened a long time ago. Let me see if you can remember when this happened. The corona virus. You remember that? Let me help you with this. It fucked up the economy. It closed down the economy. It shut everything down to near zero. You know what? Airlines have been scrambling to get themselves back together. You know what I think? It's almost a miracle that airlines and airports are functioning as well as they do, considering that they sent so many people to the showers. They didn't lay off people. They bought them out. They bought out their contracts. Yeah. If you were 55 years old and you were working for United or American, and you'd put in your time and you got some seniority and your pension is going to be good, and United came to you a year and a half ago and said, you know, our traffic is down 90%. We don't need anybody flying. Would you like to retire?
Here's 70 cents on the dollar. Bye. See you. Have
lifetime
fun.
Lifetime benefits. And so a lot of them said yes.
Sure.
A lot of them said yes. Now, is that the airline's fault specifically for doing that?
It's Joe Biden's fault.
Yes. They should have known. But right. They should have known that Trump was not going to be reelected, that Biden would get elected. And that then within a year, airline travel would come back for for leisure travel. It hasn't come back for business travel yet, but that's enough. That's enough. And now demand is high. So you've had these bottlenecks, and you've had Southwest, and you've had American, you've had Spirit, all have these meltdowns where their whole systems practically collapse over a period of days. So again, and I know this is not going to matter, but most of this shit is not Joe Biden's fault, and that does not matter. I understand people do not care there, but the thought that you voted for Trump against Hillary Clinton, and then you voted for Joe Biden because you actually had the smarts to go, yeah, probably not a good idea to reelect him. And now when they poll you, you say, oh, absolutely, I want a Republican congressman in 2022. There's no doubt, because Joe Biden's fucked up the economy. He can't fix it. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I don't. I you know, we, you know, the old phrase from a famous Northeast clothier, particularly advertised often on the great WABC, Cy Sims, the guy who made suits. His famous line was, an educated consumer is our best customer. Well, an educated voter would be a good voter. But again, and here we go, Mr. and Mrs. Elitist here, you want to be Mrs. or Mr. Clearly, we have a lot of uneducated voters. But that's the Constitution. That's the way it works. And who's better at appealing to uneducated voters?
Republicans.
The Republicans or the Democrats? It's not
it's
even
the Republicans. Right? It's their milk. And I mean, it's the their lifeblood. That's what they do. You know, you know what inflation really has hit hard is the lease on hotels in Washington, D.C. Look at that inflation on that one. Is this too dumb for us to talk about? Trump is selling the Marquis Washington Hotel for at least $375 million. That's the lease that they're going to be selling, because it actually belongs. The property itself is the old post office to the federal government. And I don't know if you saw the stories. He's selling it to an investment group that's headed by Alex Rodriguez, the former New York Yankee, the great New York Yankee that everybody hates. And the hotel itself, there are some estimates that it lost at least $70 million over those years that Donald John Trump was in the White House. But now he's going to clean up on this particular lease. I don't know what he paid to lease the property, but he's selling it, and they're going to, they had a loan, of course, they're going to be paying off. And then hopefully Ivanka will be getting another tiara. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case or not.
Yeah. Well, we wish Mr. Trump well in all of his future ventures here. I know we don't have a ton of time here, but, there is one prayer I have for, the next few months.
Yes.
And, it is that Alex Jones is bankrupted to the point of complete destitution, because he lost 100% in court against the Sandy Hook parents. Every bit of it. They whooped his ass. Yeah. Connecticut judge orders Alex Jones of InfoWars to pay damages to families of Sandy Hook shooting victims in defamation lawsuits. And this is across the board. No wiggle room. You're done. You're through. Let's go for it. Now, everything I was trying to read here, and this came, I guess, today, so there isn't a lot of color to some of the stories on this.
Mm-hmm.
But they went through some of the kind of spending that Alex Jones was capable of several years ago in a 2018 article about Alex Jones, and this was in the New York Times. It was called, let's see the title on it. Let's get rid of that and let's move that up. Conspiracy theories made Alex Jones very rich. They may bring him down. So this was written 3 years ago before this decision. And this guy was just raking it in. Back then he was 44, so he's 47 now. And his I'm not a business guy. I'm a revolutionary. By 2014, he was bringing in more than $20 million a year in revenue. That year, he bought four Rolex watches in one day, 2014, $40,000 on a saltwater aquarium, $70,000 grand piano, $752,000 in silver, gold, and precious metals, that they found that was in a safe deposit box. All right, so this guy has been raking it in. So he's worth millions of dollars. And I hope what is done to him in the next part of the legal proceedings is the same thing that was done to those white supremacist groups out west that were completely dissembled and sued into bankruptcy. And you never heard from at least those specific people again, because no one deserves it more than Alex Jones. No,
I do. I hope they drive him into bankruptcy. He's forced to live under a bridge that was built beautifully by Build Back America, better by Joe Biden. And so the bridge will not crumble down on top of him and kill him. And he can live under that bridge.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I think he should have to live under a decrepit falling down bridge, the kind where if you're not careful, you know, pieces of concrete can break out from it and fall down. That's what I don't want him under a spanking brand new bridge.
That'd be unfortunate. I want him cooking his pork and beans under a brand spanking new bridge that Joe Biden built, and he lives to a happy ripe age as people spit on him from the overpass.